Off the Ball Rugby.
It feels like a summer tour, really, you know, and I think it's exciting to have a competition, and we certainly want to be, you know, at the business end of it come November, but it feels like a tour. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Folks, hello and welcome to tonight's League of Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, and I am joined by a new voice from Off the Ball tonight in David Seagrave. David, how are you keeping?
I'm not too bad, Shane. How are you?
Not too bad now at all, not too bad. David, you're a Shells fan to the best of my knowledge. Were you in Talca tonight?
I wasn't in Talca. I was watching from home, had a few bits to sort out here in the house, so was watching from the comfort of the couch, unfortunately.
Ah, good man, good man. Well, listen, I was in situ in Talca, so we will have a good chat about that game as we go along. But first, just to give an overview of all of our results from tonight, and there has certainly been some eye-catching ones, probably the most eye-catching of all, being up in Derry, where we've had a scoreline of Derry City 2, bottom of the table, no longer bottom of the table, of course, 4 going into the game, Waterford United 4. Waterford United with a massive win up there. We have Drogheda United at home to Bowes, beaten 2-0. Very good win for Bohemians to keep their good form going. We have comprehensive win for St. Patrick's Athletic, 3-0 at home to Galway United. I think they were 3-0 up after about 20 minutes there, playing sailing for them for sure. We have Sligo Rovers 1, Shamrock Rovers 2. Sligo Rovers going ahead, but unfortunately not able to stay there for them. Shamrock Rovers coming back, getting level. Then Sligo Man sent off, and Rovers go on to win that game. And the game, yes, that I've just come out of, literally just come out of, and sat back into the car and heading up on the road back down the country. Shamrock Rovers 2, Dundalk 1. And again, it was another comeback game. Dundalk going ahead 1-0, but Shells turning on the style as the game went on and coming back to win the game 2-1. In the first division, we have Bray Wanderers at home with a 1-0 win to Athlone Town. We had Cove Ramblers defeated at home in the Cork Derby against Cork City. We had Finn Harps with a big win for them, 1-0 at home to Wexford, who are probably struggling for a bit of form at the moment. And again, the bottom of the table team, Treaty United, bottom of the first division. Must check whether they're actually still bottom of the first division on the back of that one. With a 2-1 win themselves at home to Kerry, who I think might have also had a man sent off. So a huge amount going on in the league tonight. Some massive storylines around the place. So we would like, as ever, to have as many of you guys on with your own opinions and your own feedback from the games that you have been at. David, what did you make through the screen of tonight's proceedings at Talca?
It certainly wasn't pretty, I'll say that. Probably not the smoothest win, but at this stage, you know, you're in a bit of a turbulent time at Talca Park at the moment, and obviously the home form hasn't been great, so I think they'll take a win in any way that they can get. And to do it against Dundalk, a Dundalk team that's been really, really impressive throughout the year, I think that they'll take massive confidence from that game. Especially kind of the last few minutes, you know, you kind of have your backs to the wall there. Dundalk really, really put the foot down heading into the final few minutes. So from a Shelburne point of view, with Europe right around the corner and given all the turbulence that's been going on there lately, that's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, agreed, agreed. Look, I thought Shells were decent tonight. They weren't superb, but they were decent. I thought even at 1-0 down, they had had more than their fair share of the chances and had just been, you know, just been sloppy with their finishing. Freitas, who I thought, to be honest, was excellent aside from his finishing. Jesus, if he can add that to his game, David, there'll be no stopping him, because I thought he was an absolute handful tonight. He was everywhere, played a significant role in the second goal and was just everywhere. But as I said, had two or three decent chances, didn't manage to convert any of them, but very, very good aside from that. He was a real handful. I thought Dan Kelly, one of his best games this season in a Shell.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, he was everywhere, wasn't he, in a constant menace. And listen, as you say, when Dundalk were trying to throw the kitchen sink at it, Paddy Barrett was in his element. Balls were coming forward and he was just loving life and heading everything and kicking everything out of there. Looked really, really good. So no, listen, as you say, given your given your home travail so far this season, you'll certainly take that one tonight, won't you?
100%. And I think Freitas is one of the big talking points to come out of that game. He was absolutely excellent. Like, and as you mentioned, aside from the finishing, he very rarely stepped a foot wrong. And it's a position where we've kind of struggled with this season so far. But even to have him, as the game went on, he started out as more so a vocal point further kind of right up towards the back line towards the start of the game. As it kind of progressed, you could kind of see him dropping back more, and I think that's what helped Kelly as much as it did, because it kind of opened up a bit more space for him to be that bit more direct. So for him, it kind of just the two of them bounced off each other quite well. And listen, as you mentioned, if he can add that finishing aspect to his game, I'm kind of sitting here and hope that it's a bit similar to a Ryan Edmondson situation where he just gets the one and it just kind of clicks from there. But if it is, it's the most drawn out Edmondson situation I've ever come across in football.
Yeah. Well, no, listen, and you know, because you've had so many options in that centre forward role, with Sean Boyd out suspended, I assume John Martin is injured. No, he wasn't in the squad at all tonight. They kind of had no option but to go with Freitas and stick with Freitas. And I think that served him very, very well, because of a normal night, he'd have to have come off purely from nearly just from the battering he took, because he was involved in everything and was on the ground on three or four occasions, such were some of the collisions he was involved in. But he seemed to be really relishing the fact that because there was very few other options, he just needed to get back up each time and get on with it.
Absolutely, yeah. And even with Meepo out as well, like, that's just, you know, you've got options there in the ranks, but if none of them are available, I have to give him credit where it's due. I mean, to take the beating he did throughout that game and just continue on, even when he got that hit to the throat, you know, you're looking at him thinking, oh, this might be a bad one here, but you know, he takes it in his stride and just keeps going. And for you could kind of see the tiredness starting to creep in. It was only natural given the performance that he had and the amount of the ground that he covered. But look, if you can have a performance like that, there's no reason why that can't become your starting spot.
For sure. Well, David, little did we know that the secret to home success for Shelburne this season was quite simply to have me on co-commentary. That's twice I've seen you in the last 3 weeks. 6 points from six you've picked up. So you may have a word with the powers that be in there to get me on a few more Falcon Park commentaries for you.
Listen, it's out of my hands, but I can try my best to convince. I'm not sure if the rest of the lads will be as happy with that if it's given Shelburne all the points, but I'll see what I can do.
Well, listen, as we said, probably the most high-profile result of the night came up in Derry. You know, a man under pressure up there already, I would have suggested, going into the game. To go 3-0 down, I can just imagine what the place was like. It looked like there was a bit of a comeback on then at 3-2, but I can just imagine the vitriol around the place when that fourth goal went in, and no better man than Marty to fill us in on what things were like up there. How are you, Marty?
Oh, thanks, Dan. Yourself?
Not too bad. Talk to me. I can imagine that was some atmosphere.
Ah, dreadful. Like, we're an embarrassment, to be honest. Daniel Lynch has taken us from a team that was very close to winning a double, that won a cup, to an absolute laughing stock, to be honest. We have to be honest now, that's where we're at.
Yeah. And talking about the performance, or like how 3-0 down to a team, yes, they are improving, there's no doubt. I've been saying it consistently, they are improving, but they were still a team bottom of the table heading into that game. How the hell do you end up 3 goals down to?
Well, in fairness to Waterford, like, I would say congratulations to them. They were absolutely brilliant tonight. They did everything they could perfectly, set up perfectly. Graham Coughlin, what a man there, what an appointment. For us, like, we've huge problems with intensity, I suppose, starting games with intensity. We can get up for, like, the first game at Celtic Park or the President's Cup or the first game bracket to Brandywell last week, but when it comes to the run-of-the-mill kind of games, we just cannot start with any kind of intensity, and it was the same tonight. I thought it was a big tactical blunder as well tonight, in that I've been very critical of Tiernan and Lynch for playing back threes at home to, or back fives at home to teams like Galway, etc., that don't tack in big numbers. But against the likes of Waterford, who are probably have the most dangerous front three in the league when you look at Noonan in the 10 and Almond and Lonergan. They're probably the most dangerous front three. They're very compact. I wouldn't have played a back four myself tonight, especially young Conor Barr. He kind of had a very poor game. He's been brilliant all season. But they really targeted him. And him and Paddy McLean got overran by the three boys I mentioned there. I thought it was really poor tactically to play that way. So it was really just them two things. Plus, you have to give the Waterford, they were excellent as well.
Yeah. And like I say, I would imagine at 3-0 down and when that fourth goal went in, I'd imagine things got fairly spicy from the stands, did they?
Yeah, well, things have been spicy for a long time and I don't know what. I think people were they turned on Tiernan way too early, like back last year or even back in March or April. I think it still could have turned around, but for me, like, it's been dead in the water since, like, kind of, I remember that game down in Drogheda, like in May. It was just terrible. It was shocking. Like, you could see it was going nowhere. So that for me was it over. So I don't know how we're still now in July and still with the same manager. And I'm told by very reputable sources that he will be in the job no matter what until the end of the season. So it's just madness for me. He's got more lives than a cat, you know.
Yeah. Listen, it's almost impossible. You do get drawn tasking about good or bad. You do get drawn tasking about James McKean every week. I had hoped that moving out into his more traditional left wing spot would see a bit more of an improved level of performances from him. How did he go tonight?
Well, tonight he played on the right wing. Incredibly, like, he actually played on the right wing for the whole match. I've never heard of him on the right wing. But last week he was the same. He can't move, the poor fella. In fairness, I'll defend him. I've been very harsh on him. But you can tell he's absolutely crippled. And, like, he's been trotted out there because our transfer strategy, again, is just an absolute calamity, like, where we've let four players go about a month ago and now we can't fill out a squad and we've got all 15-year-olds on the bench and we have to play James McLean, who shouldn't be playing. He clearly cannot move. He's absolutely crippled. So I can't really say anything about him. He didn't do anything really this week or last week because he can't move.
Sorry, Shane, do you mind if I just jump in here for a second?
I was just going to say, David, have you seen much of them yourself this year, or what do you make of them?
I haven't seen a whole lot, bar when they play Shelburne, to be honest with you. Now I think it's kind of hard to disagree with a lot of what Marty has said. The transfers over the last couple of weeks have been a very, very confusing one. I'm not really sure. I could somewhat understand it if you had, you know, names in the pipeline that were ready to come in. And to be fair, they have looked to me somewhat active in recruiting since the window's opened. But even with Chapman coming in today, but sometimes when you're looking at the transfers that are coming in, there doesn't really seem to be much of a concrete plan in place. It seems a bit scattergun at times. I was just going to ask, though, Marty, up at the ground tonight, when you look at the two goals, obviously you got two in the space of, what was it, 3 or 4 minutes. Was that more so coming from, you know, good play, or was this just sort of, you were kind of gifted the opportunity and capitalised on it?
Well, I wanted to, it was probably like I had 3 points to make about our performance and I kind of got lost in attacking Lynch, but the players do kind of have to answer for it as well, because, like, again, they're not playing until we go 3-0 down, like, you know. I never managed at the level of Shane there, but, like, I've been a manager for a long time in the Leinster Senior League and stuff like that, and you don't have a lot of control over intensity. Like, you can get lads to buy in and all that there, like, but, like, there was just no intensity from the players. Like, they're just coming out now. Like, that might come from the uncertainty above them and stuff, but I'll give you a story about Galway. Like, we were away to Galway a few weeks ago and I won't say too much, but James McLean came over to us and he was kind of denigrating the manager and all. And I said, look, you want to look at yourself, mate, like, and the whole players, because, like, whatever manager puts you out in whatever formation, you lads tonight, you didn't put in a shift, you didn't put in any effort. Galway bullied us off the pitch. And it was kind of like that tonight for Waterford. Like, they just bullied us out of it. They were just, like, you know. And then as soon as we were 3-0 down, we played a bit and then we got caught in the break. But, like, whatever manager, like, not that, if, like, Tiernan has to go, like, that's clear, but players have to take responsibility as well. It was the same under Higgins as well. They were just coming out and starting games at the brand new end with no intensity and too easy now. It's been too easy for teams for too long to come up to Derry and get a point or get a win.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's a very fair point because there, you know, there has been, you know, Higgins and before that, Decky was before that, was he? You know, you've gone through a few managers and there's been, you know, some players have remained. There has been some turnover in players as well. But I do feel sometimes like the rest of them are almost, it's like, you know, you go after Tiernan, you go after James. I'm not referring to you specifically now. I mean, the fan base go after Tiernan, they go after James. And the rest of them kind of seem to be getting a free ride a little bit, don't they?
Well, that's the truth, like, and it's, you know, like, you have to look after yourself as a professional, you know? It's not like, you can't just blame, you can't turn around, and when you're getting paid to do this for a living, it's probably the dream of everyone listening here, to be a pro footballer and stuff, like, a lot of lads don't take it seriously enough.
Yeah, what did you make of it? Just, David mentioned it there, the Ellis Chapman signing, what do you make of that one?
It's bizarre to me, like, if you could say, like, one position we did need a player in was probably centre mid. Like, we've got, like, about 6 or 7 good centre midfielders at the minute. We've got Carl Winchester to come back. I don't see how where he plays. Like, it's just madness. Like, you know, we need centre-halves badly. We need centre-forwards badly. And yet we're going and signing Chapman. Now, it's probably one of many signings coming, in fairness. So I'll reserve judgment. But it does mean to me that we've a player gone out now if Chapman's coming in. I thought we were settled in centre midfield. But obviously now someone's gone. I've heard Carl Winchester's fallen out with Lynch now as well. So maybe he's gone. Like, it's just crazy. It's just like a revolving door.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't get attached to anyone.
Yeah. David, he obviously really caught the eye with Snigger Overs. He never really managed to get a tune out of him, did he?
Not particularly, no. I think, look, there's a player there because neither Shelburne nor Derry would have signed him if there wasn't. He just seems like one of those where you're not entirely sure what his best role is. I think part of the reason why he did as well as he did at Sligo was he was kind of... everything kind of ticked through him at the time, whereas he's going into two teams now where that may not be the case, and I think that kind of affects his game a little bit. So unless, you know, there's a bit of formation change and maybe you move him up to the 10 and just try and have sort of all the play coming through him, I kind of agree with Marty here. I'm not really sure where exactly he fits into the squad in terms of what I've seen from Derry so far anyway.
Yeah, agreed. Marty, fair play for jumping on. Super stuff.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Cheers, Marty.
Talk to you. Yeah, on the flip side of that same game, obviously, Waterford fans will be absolutely overjoyed with that result and see themselves off the bottom of the table. I've been inclined to say nearly since the first week. I'm not sure if they immediately went bottom, but it seems like they've been bottom for a long, long time. Toby, you're a happy man down in Waterford.
Very happy, lad. Very happy.
Yeah, for sure. What did you make of the performance?
I thought the performance was good. Like, obviously, you know, like, obviously, Derry had some good spells of possession. That's always going to happen to the team, but I thought we did everything right tonight.
Yeah, certainly the case. You've got, like, this is why it was so strange to see bottom, I suppose, and why the club obviously felt they needed to make a change when they did, because, like, that squad on paper has always looked good to me, and when you've got a front two like you've got, you know, that has firepower that a lot of teams in this league would be envious of, and obviously both men doing the business again tonight.
Well, yeah, obviously the rumours about Tommy Nottingham joined the league is rumours, you know what I mean. Like, clearly he's a threat in some way, and obviously Paul Davis will get back into form.
Yeah. Are you hearing that you'll hold on to Tommy? Obviously, talks of what was it, the Derry City making a fairly big bid for him. What do you think? Do you think he'll still be a Waterford player for the rest of the season?
I really hope so. He has to be. Like, I mean, if he goes, we could be screwed.
Yeah, he could be the difference between the staying up or not. It's all well and good to have the money in the pocket, but being able to sign somebody, being able to sign a player as good as him, it's been a remarkable rise really since the new manager has come in, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I do somewhat feel for Waterford, like they. As you mentioned, there's definitely quality there in that team. It's kind of hard to see. Obviously, Toby might know more. He's probably watched them a bit more than I have, where exactly it went wrong at the start of the season. But ever since Graham Coughlin has come in, it just seems far, far more organised. And like the results that they've gotten have reflected the performances 100% because they had a torrid, torrid start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, Toby... When Coughlin came in, you probably would have taken if you'd been offered a playoff spot by the end of the season at that stage. Let's be honest, you were so far adrift, you'd probably have taken it. Whereas now the only way is up, and now you must fancy your chances of not even having to worry about a playoff.
Yeah, we definitely fancy our chances now, especially after tonight. You know, the few weeks have been absolutely an absolute turnaround. And obviously, you probably know, your man has done it. He has done it before with clubs. He has experience, and the fact he's doing with us right now is absolutely brilliant right now.
Yeah, you'll be building a statue to him down there by the end of the season, I reckon. Toby, the line isn't wonderful, so I'm going to let you go. Great stuff. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Thanks, Shane. Thanks, David.
Cheers, Toby.
Cheers, boys.
Fair play, Toby. One team, another, Waterford are a team very much on the march at the moment, but they're not the only team on the march, having been under pressure what seems like only a couple of weeks ago and taking a bit of a stick from the fan base. Bows all of a sudden are absolutely flying and now maybe actually fancying being in a proper title race. Anthony, comfortable tonight, or was it hard work?
Hey lads, how's it going? No, it was hard work, Jesus. Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't comfortable. I don't know, I don't know if Vanny has noticed or not, though, but the draw the players get, like, bonuses when they play bows or what goes on there, because they were like, I'm only being smart, I don't answer that. They looked good tonight, Drogheda. I reckon the better team won tonight, or the better team lost tonight, from what I've seen. But, like, I suppose a lot of credit goes to Reynolds, because I suppose what way that worked out tonight from my point of view is that Bowes set back and sucked up an awful lot of pressure and a lot of high balls and a lot of uncomfortable balls into the box and in uncomfortable areas, and even the second balls weren't cleared great, and Drogheda had a lot of draw the kind of stuff that they do, and like at times I was saying, put Douglas James Taylor on, put Parsons on, get somebody up there that can hold the ball up a little bit more, otherwise we'll end up conceding two goals and we lose the game and the whole momentum is gone, and that could have very well happened. Kimbourne had an unbelievable goal line clearance. It was probably the only real clear cut chance that Drogheda had, in fairness. But no, as soon as Douglas James Taylor came on, the same, he swapped him and Whelan around, and same thing, one decent run into the box and 2-0, and the game is over at that. And then they got a penalty that they missed. But yeah, kind of. I think Alan Reynolds held his nerve in terms of what he set up like, but it wouldn't have been me. I would have changed it at half time. And then yeah. Drogheda competed. They were decent, like, but.
I got a text from Dan, who has who's been co-host with me on Late Night League of Ireland for the last 2 weeks. He just sent me a text saying that Douglas James Taylor has scored one of the jammiest goals of the season and had one of the worst penalty misses you're likely to see.
And that's the truth, and that's probably the only two times he hit the ball. But the reality of the situation was he made the run, Shane. He made the run that Colin Whelan wasn't making because he was coming to the ball and he was being a team player. Whereas the minute Douglas James Taylor came on, he ran across diagonally across the two centre halves, made a run, the ball came in. The keeper made a good save. He played it off his knee and went into goal. It was one on one and he kind of ricocheted back and forth and he got lucky with it. Don't know if you've seen it yet, but for me, that's all about if you don't put a ticket to the raffle sort of thing, and that's the run where Colin Whelan was running away from the goal 3 or 4 minutes beforehand, not in a bad sort of way, just a different sort of player. So that's what got kind of Bowes over the line. Their bench tonight, Connor Parsons come on, done well, won a penalty, kind of sucked the life out of Drogheda a little bit then. But by no stretch of the imagination near original point was comfortable at all for Bowes.
Yeah, listen, that is a big thing for years, the strength and depth there, to bring in fellas like Dale Rooney and Douglas James Taylor and Parsons and guys like that on. But listen, it might have been a little bit more hard work tonight, but even that said, you have to be happy with the way things are at the moment. And I mean, can you keep this going? Can you start to apply any real pressure on Rovers?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course they can. They're some of the best players I've ever seen in Bowes shorts. They compete in most games. It's definitely like there's 3 games we haven't conceded a goal, and we probably haven't still reached our full potential. They definitely can. Whether they do or not is a different matter of fact. But like at one stage tonight, they were within four points of Rovers and still have to play them. So you're always in with a show. And then the other side of it is you could have 2 or 3 bad results, and then all of a sudden Shelbourne and Dundalk and the Derrys of this world are clawing you back then. Do you know what I mean? We've nearly a month off now to Galway. We've got a lot of games ticked off from this round of fixtures that were potential banana skins. We're in great form. The confidence is really, really high. We had another different performance than we've had against Shells and against St. Pat's last week. Another different performance where we're backs against the wall in a different sort of way. Our centre half wasn't there tonight, and Cian Bourne came in, done excellent. So the players off the bench done excellent. So you can't, there's no criticism there. There's absolutely nothing I can fault them on. It's a 10 out of 10, 3 weeks in a row. So why can't they go and challenge? I don't see why they couldn't win every other single game, because they're capable. And I think Shane Kennedy alluded to it the last day when he was talking about the Stephen O'Donnell and how Bowes are playing. They're probably the most attractive team to watch, and the most team that people would say that the game is in the balance the whole time. So from that point of view, yeah, you can't kind of, there's no criticism there.
Yeah, for sure. And I have Shane waiting in the wings. We'll have him on next, so we will. But David, have you seen much of Bowes this year? What have you met of them yourself?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of my friends are Bowes fans, so it's one of those teams that I've always sort of kept an eye on throughout the season.
To
be fair to them, right, like similar to last season, they've kind of gone through those spells where things haven't really clicked, or it's just gone completely haywire for maybe 4 or 5 games. But to their credit, and especially to Alan Reynolds' credit, whenever that does happen, he has this weird way of galvanizing the team to get them right back on form. And once they do get back on form, they just go on a tear. And I think that's one of those things. If they can keep that confidence up that they've had over the last couple of games, especially if, look, a lot of this is dependent on the European fixtures and how to get on with that, because, you know, that's one of those things where if you go in and it's your first time in, what is it, 5 years since Bohemians have been in Europe. So if you go in and it just goes very, very badly from the get-go and you get a hiding in your first round of fixtures, then all of a sudden that confidence can take a knock. But say if they drop off for maybe 2 or 3 games, he's able to turn it around relatively quickly, and it's a hell of a lot quicker than it was last year. But I'd agree with Anthony on the fact that I'd say they are probably one of the most entertaining teams to watch in the league. Like, when they're going well, they absolutely hum, and they're really, really difficult to play against. Especially like throughout the season, you've seen them press up on people quite a few times, and when they do that, it's almost like they suffocate you, and it just makes it incredibly, incredibly hard to play against.
Yeah, for sure. Anthony, you're looking forward to Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Big night on Thursday. I don't know if we'll get to the next round there, if we ever get through. So probably the last time we'll be in Daly Mount for a European tie, which is kind of something you kind of look forward to at the same time. That's kind of saying, oh yeah, that's pity. But it's a 6 o'clock kickoff. I don't think the lights are up to the lux levels that they need to be. So we have to go early on Thursday. So I'm not sure if it's on the League of Ireland TV or where anyone can watch it. But yeah, looking forward to it. Look, we've seen that team, St. Joseph's, against Shells last year and Rovers the year before, and I don't think there were any easy games there with them. And they do tend to sign kind of 1 month contract players from Portugal and Spain for these sort of big games. So it's not a penalty kick, like. So we'll have to have our wits about us. But yeah, absolutely, we're looking forward to Europe. Of course, it's great, isn't it? Like, in the warm up beforehand and the buzz around the place, and it's a long time coming back to Daly Mount, in fairness. So I'll enjoy it on Thursday.
Yeah, and come here. You've been robbed of a trip to Cork, I think, are you?
Yeah, Jesus. I was only down there for work the other day, and I was sussing the whole thing out. But I don't know. I'm not going to criticise anybody there. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of it. But for me, I don't see the reason why that couldn't have been switched to Daly Mount on the Monday or the Sunday morning, when they would have gotten a big gate to ring Matt and Rover. So I don't know the ins and outs of it, to be honest. On the face of it, it looked like the club tried their best to get it on, but I don't know the ins and outs. But like, I don't know if going down to Cove and they wouldn't get the fans because the hurling, and they would have been left with the bill. I don't know if a non-league club can take that risk. So in fairness, I think people are shooting from the hip a little bit on that. So you have to see it from their point of view as well.
Absolutely, no, fair play to you, fairly level approach to it. Anthony, thanks a million for jumping on.
How about our sound, lads? Thanks.
Cheers, Anthony.
Cheers.
Now, I'm not 100% sure, but as I was making my way into the car park there this evening, pretty sure I might have laid eyes on Shane Kennedy. Shane, were you buying a coffee from a little kind of hut coffee place there? Energy, I think it was called, was it?
That was me there in the car park, yeah. Getting a cup of tea and on the hot chocolate.
Yeah, good man. I got a cup of tea and a cookie. Very nice to myself, so it was.
Fair play.
enough of that. Talk to me about the game. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I don't know. We missed. I don't know if we touched on it at the start. I missed the start. I was walking back to the car. Yeah, look, that's a bit of fight we've been missing. All season, fair play to 50, he got nearly every sub bang on. I don't know if he left Dickie on because he thought he had no subs left, because I think the centre half went off with a concussion injury. So I was kind of about to go at Chuck to ask him if he had a spare sub left to make. I didn't understand the Harry Wood on the wing at the start down on Sligo, we kind of caused us, and I think towards the end of the first half he kind of gave up that wing and played more centrally beside two, and that's where the two goals came from, because he's not a right winger. But look, we grew into the game. We didn't understand the long balls at the start, to be honest. I couldn't make my head around that. I know you can say, oh, you let them off, they're going to press, but just play through it and try and play, knocking the ball up to Roddy was a bit nuts. But but look, Fitzy managed the game well and deserves all the credit. Like, even Sam Bowen coming on midfield. All the scores are good. I don't know what you made of yourself before it, or even David before it.
Yeah, no, listen, I one of the very first comments I made in the game was that I was surprised to see Harry Wood start on the right-hand side, that I didn't think they'd get the most out of him if he wasn't central. Now look, he tried to wander into those areas from that position and create overloads in there, but he definitely got more of him when he switched with Ali Coote, and Coote grew into the game as well. I didn't think he I don't think he showed anything really in the first 20, but as the half started to go on, the more he were getting on top, the more he was starting to be a bit influential in it as well. But listen, you won't have heard myself and David chatting, but I just get your own opinion. The one that caught my eye tonight was Freitas. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, when you played about those D, he was really good. At the start, he kind of is a bit isolated. But yeah, if you, like, he's got the technical ability that some, I suppose, this is the thing about going outside the market, is he's got a better touch than most of the lads in the league, to be honest. He just needs kind of support, and he needs kind of ball on the ground, I think, you know. So he's a bit isolated at the start, but his touch for the second goal was unbelievable. I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's seen the run, instead of just sometimes players get positions and just whack it across the face of goal and everyone goes, oh, what a ball, and really no one's ever going to get on the end of it. But I'm going to give him the credit to say he's seen Hayes coming in the back post.
Yeah, no, I thought he was a real handful. I thought he did very, very well, in fairness, didn't he?
For me, Shane, though, just to touch on a player that I said, did I say it last week? He was taken off after 60 minutes tonight. I think we were managing his minutes, though. But my God, he looks like an absolute bargain for 100 grand. Is that Oran Casey? Like,
he's absolutely like, brilliant.
Ah, he's unreal. This football player, he's going to give away the odd goal or two because he tries to play football. He doesn't whack it. But in that first half, he was outstanding. He wins headers and mainly the other side of the box, in the opposition's box. I don't think that goal came near them. But another step piece we completed, which, look, we fair, they kind of isolated everyone and then put it into the smaller player. I think it was Dario Wilson, wasn't it? I think it helped with that team. But...
Yeah. No, he was excellent, Shane. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you nearly feel for Joey a little bit. You know, would Joey have even found him losing his job if he had had Casey on a regular basis? He looked so much more solid with him there, don't you?
No, to be fair, though, I don't think Joey brings on Sam Bones in the midfield, though, to be honest. And I don't think he makes the stubs that Fitzy made. So I'm going to give a bit of credit to David Fitzy on that one. He managed that game perfect. So yeah, obviously we'd be in a different league position if we did have Casey, but I don't know if you touched on that. Never seen this in football before. It's the off the way from the throw in.
I did. That was bizarre.
The poor fourth official, I don't know, or the linesman on the far side. I don't know what he was thinking, but to be fair to him, he does seem to have radioed into the referee and just admitted that he had got something slightly wrong. And it was a bit of a crazy scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you can't just give a drop ball to Dundalk and let them have a cross, like a free cross into the box. I couldn't believe that. Like, you can't do that, right?
I could not believe. Well, first of all, it was a mess up as it was, but yeah, they confounded the mess. How on earth do they not allow Shells to compete?
Oh, no, come on, hold on, Shane. I thought you were selling them. Come on.
slip of the tongue. You'll have to forgive me. Slip of the tongue. because in the heat of the hunt, Horgan ends up putting in a really dangerous spot. Like, imagine if that had ended up being a goal, Shane.
Oh, you can't just let your man take a free cross. Like, at least they realise, fair enough, our mistake, give the ball back to the goalkeeper and then give them the possession. I've never seen a hand like that in European football. They're literally just giving them, because yeah, they had a throw-in, but the throw-in was a lofted and they had the ball, but it was a lofted header in the air. He literally just dropped the ball on the ground and said, there you go, Darryl, swing a ball into the box. it was bizarre.
Even if the throw-in is retaken, there's a certain argument there that you could say, right, you're kind of restarting the play from where it came from. So, like, it would probably have been a better approach to take to it. But
you couldn't do that because you have to restart the ball where the ball was stopped when the game was stopped. Like, so you could never do that.
True. That's a good point, too.
I know, I'm just saying,
I'm
just making a right mess, but will you go to this Celtic game during the week, will you?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a bit of voluntary walk down there. I wouldn't be interested now. That wouldn't interest me. So I said I'd bring the young lad and I'll just go and talk to a few people if they need any help. So I'll give a dig out, yeah, and I'll probably wait around or whatever and give a hand in the shop a few. But no, I wouldn't have any interest in that now. I'm spending 50 quid on a ticket. There's enough people out there that'll do that instead of me.
Yeah, well,
We'll have an incentive pick now coming up, probably hit down here because we back anyone to beat Linfield. So, I said we have an expensive trip coming up in a few weeks. Going all goes down here, so we back anyone to beat Linfield. So, save you a few shillings.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Did you see David Healy was at the game tonight, actually?
Yeah, someone sent me a wind-up message. So I don't know how true it is. You know where you get these messages, and just for a crack, I'll say, he said David Healy's down to us, but he was like, you're winding me up. I'm like, you have to be. But probably was a wind-up message. Yeah, probably wasn't. Yeah. I don't have a good who's coming in yet either, though, to be honest. Not a dicky board, like, good because a lot of clubs kind of let kind of stuff out, which isn't what you want. Like, so we haven't a clue who's coming around, to be honest.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose getting the not having to play the first, not having to play the European game around earlier at least buys you that bit of time that you probably don't have to rush into it. There probably is a couple of weeks grace there before you need somebody back in the hot seat, really, isn't there?
That's obviously a blessing, but I suppose we need signings, and are you going to sign anyone without a manager is the other thing. Like, we need players in the door. I don't know how long John Martin's out for, JJ Looney, obviously McEnroe is injured. Like, so obviously the injury list is quite long, which that happens in football. You know yourself as a sports manager. I don't know where you go. I don't know who you go. Someone outside the league probably, I would imagine, is why it's taken so long. And but imagine if they had been in contact with anyone else, Dan McConnell or someone would have reported on it, you know?
Yeah, maybe boys are all a little bit distracted out in the World Cup.
Just to touch on Dundalk, I don't know if anyone's requested that to come on, but I thought the killer, I know you're going to feel for them in terms of Long Kenny's gone to parts. I don't know how much money they're going to get. Hopefully they get a few quid, but we heard a couple of rumours that could be on a free, which would be a bit of a disaster. For me, you want the whole league to grow and you want these lads to get sold for a few shillings to let everyone improve the whole standard. But I thought they were a bit poor, to be honest. They huffed and puffed and left themselves wide open. If everyone looked the odds on them, are probably going to drop off. That's what everyone's going to expect now, isn't it? Especially with the lads leaving.
There's no doubt on Kenny was a big, big miss there. And like you said, apart from the goal, I would say Ruby had a clever little kind of backheel flick attempt there from across. But outside of that, there wasn't really many chances for them at all, really, was there?
No, they hooked and poked, and even a bit unlucky, they brought that 10.5 on. I think they followed the set piece, and he got down with it, pushing great legs and were going off. That's what I was shouting. This is one of them where the doctor kind of has to let, kind of make the decision for him, you know. So once he got down, please.
He was clearly rattled, all right, so he was. Shane, thanks a million for jumping on.
Yeah, look, we're all off now to watch the Eagles. The open staying up as well, so I don't know. As long as all of us don't get a few shillings out of a win, we wish him the best of luck.
Fair play, come on, enjoy it.
Cheers, Shane.
We're joined by another man who, again, I assume is in good form. Keith, how are you keeping?
How are you, Shane? How's the form, Pop?
All good. You had it, I see he forced John Caulfield into a triple substitution after 27 minutes tonight.
I was going to mention that as well. Yeah, I've never seen the likes of it before, but in fairness, it seemed to work. They shut up shop, but well, they damaged limitation, I suppose, after, but they had a better goal. After that, but yeah, I've never seen anything like that before. Fair play to them.
Yeah, clearly an impressive first half an hour out of you anyway.
Yeah, look, I'm a Greyhound man, and to steal the phrase, we got out of the traps like a fucking rocket now tonight. 5-6 minutes, Edmondson got his goal. We just kept the pressure on. Very unusual because, look, Galway have been a team that we've struggled with over the last while, 18 months, I suppose. And we kind of normally have to grind it out. And the fact that the manner of the goals aren't goals that Galway typically give up, like their second phase off set pieces and, you know, dealing with first balls and just not dealing with second contacts and stuff, which is normally what kind of Galway's bread and butter is based on. So yeah, I think okay, his pass don't normally get off the flyers like that, but yeah, as happy as I am with that, I'm still on death's door over last week, like, you know. So I felt if you'd asked me 10 days ago with the momentum was building, Rovers dropping points, yeah, I thought we just had to get the job done against Bowes, and it just deflated the life out of us now, to be honest. But obviously, look, you look for a response, and Kenny got it out of him tonight. We're not prolific early starters in games, and look, he got some sort of response tonight anyway.
Yeah, last week was the killer. I did the LOI pod during the week with the lads, and I was saying, I'll be honest, I want you to be good, and I want there to be a title race, and I feel you have all the ingredients to be good, and every time I start to believe that you're there or thereabouts, and that you're going to give us something to get excited about, you go and throw one in like that.
Yeah, look, like I said, 10 days ago, I was on top of the world. I really thought this was going to be the year we were going to push them. Like, call a spade, Rovers aren't the patch on what they have been. Like, they're stalling along. Like, you know, they're a team that's kind of in redevelopment, I suppose, with a lot of young players. And if there was ever a year to try and catch them, it should have been this. And I suppose between ourselves and Bowes, we're just stop start or two. Like, no one is bringing that consistency, but... Like, even last week, like, when you took Edmondson off, why not leave Edmondson on and bring Keane on and sacrifice one of the back three? And, you know, they're 10 men behind the ball. We should have gone for the trope. But, yeah, very frustrating, I suppose, is not even the word. It doesn't justify it because, like, how long are we going to get to keep the likes of Keane, Levy? You know, we've so many things going for us and we just can't add that consistency at all.
Yeah, he's right, David, isn't he? Like, there's a serious level of quality within that group this season. Like, they really should be, given that Rovers haven't been firing on all cylinders, they really should be breathing down their necks by now, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. It kind of feels like the 2024 title race where everybody's just kind of... You have a couple of teams in the mix, but there's no real... It kind of just almost seems inevitable that it's going to be Rovers. I know it wasn't Rovers
by
one
default.
That year, but... Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you can see them kind of just hopping along and then everybody else behind is kind of coming close, but then just once they kind of get that run of form going, that's when they drop off, and it's just no one can really consistently hold on to that run of form. And as a fan, as someone who would be in the title race, I'd imagine that's insanely frustrating to watch. And you do make a good point that they haven't really been as good, even in comparison to last year. They don't seem as good, but now, to be fair, they've still been excellent. But again, as you mentioned, it is a bit of a team in transition. There's a lot of young lads who are coming through, and they have been very impressive. But at the same time, you do feel like there's an opening there, and if just either yourselves or Bowes can just keep that form going, there's no reason why you can't push this through to the very end at the minimum, or even end up lifting the title.
Look, that still has to be the thing, and the two games in hand, I suppose, still gives us hope. But again, how many times are we going to let Rovers off the hook? And I suppose Bowes will probably say the same, but look, they've strung three wins together now, and like we're going to Waterford next. 5 weeks ago you said that was a handy 3 points, and now they're nearly the most informed team in the league. Like, you know, it's far from anything done, like, you know. But again, the two games in hand are going to be the key. What we can do with them when Europe starts, you know, that's going to be the big factor, really, isn't it?
Well, listen,
Levy sounded like he had a great night as well, didn't he?
He was brilliant, yeah, he was brilliant. But again, it's similar to last week, though. If teams shut Levy down, you know, now it's easier said than done. How do you double up on a lad that can go left and go right, like, and shoot from anywhere? But his goal was quality tonight, but. Yeah, again, he, at one stage he even looked like he held a hamstring, and everyone was like, oh, Jesus. But look, then the other factor is, can we keep Levy? Like, he's out of contract at the end of the year. Like, if we're serious about mounting a challenge, we have to rebuff any bids that come in for him and nearly just sacrifice letting him go out of free if we are serious about mounting a title challenge. But unfortunately, Levy's not the only one that's out of contract at the end of the year. Like, are all these boys going to stay if we just flatline again? You know, like Joe Redmond's. There's quite a few of them, to be honest with you. And it is a worry. If we have another stinking end to a season like last year, are these boys, you know, how long is Joe going to stand by us? Like, how long are we going to keep faltering before these lads say, right, enough is enough?
Yeah, you'll actually play both of those games in hand before Rovers play again, won't you?
Yeah, I think that's the way it works. Yeah, with the cup game in between and stuff like that. So I'm not sure. With there is a bit of a delay with, I guess, Waterford then the cup game.
I don't think Rovers play another league game now until the 31st of the month. So I mean, in theory, you go and do the business, and by the next time Rovers get ready to line up, there's 2 points in it.
And that would be the factor. But, like, look, we've been excellent against all the teams outside of the Dublin teams. But, like, the head-to-heads, I think we're way bottom of that kind of... I don't know, someone puts up that little Dublin head-to-heads team, four teams, tables, every now and again. And, you know, that's where we're losing ground massively. Like, and I know the 1-0s, there have only been 1-0s against Rovers in real tight games, deflected goals. But, yeah, look, get the 6 points on the board and then maybe we can have a second look. But... again, what momentum are Bowles building? Like, they're in the same boat as us. If they string results together, are they going to be the ones? But the two games is the kicker now. That's without a doubt the two games is the deciding factor.
Yeah, there were a couple of important goals for Edmondson tonight as well. He'd gone cold there after looking very good earlier in the season. Hopefully that sparks him back into life now as well.
Yeah, it's not that he'd gone cold. He's not a great finisher. it's that simple. Like, you know, he takes 3 chances to get a goal, 4 chances sometimes, but it's everything else he brings to the table is why Kenny will always start him. But is he clinical enough? And then Keenan now is dropping more in a kind of playing with 2 10s rather than playing with the two strikers. We play with 2 10s. And Keenan, again, is finding himself a bit far from the box, and he just seems to have lost the yard of pace too. I hate to say it. Maybe the injuries are catching him a little bit, but Mata hasn't hit form at all. Matt hasn't got going, really. I don't know, case of injuries. But Edmondson isn't Mr. Prolific. I know he's probably thereabouts top of the goal scoring charts, but, you know, even his finish tonight was hardly, you know, he passed it into the bottom corner. But anytime he actually pulls the trigger, 9 times out of 10, he's sending it over the bar. But it is everything else he brings to the table, his physicality, work rate, you know, link up, hold up play, all these type of things. So, but yeah, look, if he's scoring, we'll take it all day long.
David, you had compared him to Freitas. Keith's kind of backing up your point there. They do strike you as similar players, don't they?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, like, in terms of what they bring to the game, like, he's a massive net positive. I do agree, yeah, he's not a great finisher, but he's one of those players who will make the run and constantly be in the right position. It's almost like a Nicholas Jackson type in a sense where you know he's going to be there. It's just a matter of whether or not he can find the back of the net. So... like, he's someone you are going to want to have in the team. And it'd be interesting to see if you're saying that Keane is starting to drop off a bit now and he's more in the 10 rather than up alongside. It'd be interesting to see how that pans out. Does Kenny stick with that? Does he move away? Does he add another midfielder in if he needs a reshuffle, if he's do end up kind of going a little bit flat again? So, yeah, it's a difficult one to see how it's actually going to pan out in regards to Edmondson and Keane up top.
Well, it hasn't clicked so far anyway, that's for sure. And like I said, unfortunately, Mata looked to be a super signing at the start of the year, given previous Sligo form and stuff like that. But he hasn't he hasn't got a look in, but he's obviously not doing it in training if he's not getting a look in, like, because Edmondson, like we said, is far from prolific. If there was a prolific striker there, should he or would he get a look in ahead of him, like, you know? So it's strange. I don't know, but again, Edmondson will do that work for Kenny once all day long, so he's always going to start.
I was going to say, like, if you look at him, as if Kenny wants his players kind of on the ball as much as possible and kind of retaining it and playing it around as much as they need to until there is an opening, he is consistently going to be that opening for you, as opposed to having somebody else up there who might just be, you know, that bit more prolific, but they may not make the same runs, they may not be in the same spaces. And I think that's the kind of, that's what he brings that maybe somebody else won't. You'd imagine that's the reason why he's getting in ahead.
And he occupies centre-backs. Like, he's such a big unit.
You
know, Forrester,
big man.
Bagley, you know, the wingers, you know, it gives so much more freedom to everybody else in the team. So you can't knock what he does bring to the table, to be fair to him, like.
Yeah, you were saying tough away one now, given the form they're in next Friday. Will you get down to that?
Yeah, I'll go down to that. All right. Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, I'll go down to it. I was actually was bored one Monday night and went down to watch them that first win of the season they got, or nearly. Yeah, it was the first win they got. So it's not that far a trip now. It's easy run down the motorway. But yeah, it could be anything, to be honest with you. You don't know what. Well, you know what Waterford are bringing: ultra physicality, momentum, aggression, taking all the boxes, and it's far from a done deal anyway.
Yeah, no, definitely a very tough one given their current form, that's for sure. Keith, fair play. Thanks a million for jumping on.
No bother, sound boys. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, Keith.
David, I think that's pretty much us done. We got a good few callers in, some decent conversations there tonight. I'm not sure whether we will go with a show or not next week. You've actually only got the two Premier Division fixtures next Friday night, being Dundalk at home to Drogheda, the Louth Derby, and Waterford at home to Pats. I think Off the Ball are broadcasting from Dundalk. I'm pretty sure Dundalk at home to Drogheda next Friday night. So we'll see what the story is there. First Division next weekend, you've got Athlone at home to Cove, Bray Wanderers at home to UCD, Cork City at home to Longford Town, and Finn Harps at home to Treaty United, and Wexford at home to Kerry. Thank you very much for jumping on with me tonight, David. Appreciate that. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for having me, Shane.
Hopefully we'll see hear plenty more from you as the year goes on. Thank you very much to all our listeners, and particularly those two who buzzed in and had a chat with us there tonight. And we'll let you know during the week whether we're back on next Friday or whether we'll be waiting for a full round of fixtures. July is a bit all over the place with FAI Cup, Europe, all that kind of stuff, but I'm sure we'll get a couple of shows in over the next couple of Friday nights, all going well. Thanks a million, everybody. Good luck.
Off the Ball Daily.